Hi, hello, welcome back. Another episode of Paperback Romance Book Club. I'm your host, Melissa. This is a beginner's guide to romance books. So, like, romance nuts, not romance 101 anymore, you guys. It's like romance 102. Like, we get to advance the second level. Yes. Don't ask me how many levels there are because I don't know. I do not know. Let's see here. There are a shit ton of new books coming out, or that just came out, and I want all of them. Okay, so just to name a few. So Take a Hint, Danny Brown. It just came out by Tilla Hilbert. It is the second book of the Brown sisters. Last year, Get a Life, Chloe Brown came out. So, and then looking on Amazon now, I see that book number 3 is called Actor Age, Eva Brown, which I'm like, that's, I don't want to act my age. Let's see, The Bad Boy Redemption Ranch by Missy Yates. Oh, that looks good. Cowboys, you guys, cowboys. No, I love my cowboys. Party of Two by Jasmine Guillory. Something to Talk About. That just came out. Oh, I've been wondering, when did this come out, you guys? I have no idea. Something to Talk About by Mary Wilsner. I know that, let's see, Avery Flynn's Loudmouth is out. That is a Ice Knights hockey book. Third book of that series. I'm so excited to read it. Shit, you guys, I just saw like a bunch of new releases on Twitter that I was like super excited about, and of course nothing is. Okay, so I know that next week Sarah McLean's book Daring the Duke, so the last book of the Bare Knuckled Bastards, that comes out. Yep. Avery Flynn, I said, came out. So Eva Leigh's What I Lied to the Duke comes out in a month. I'm so excited for that. You know, let's see here. I said that comes out. Okay, you guys. I don't know what else. I feel like there's a shit ton of books. Oh, Real Men Knit. I'm so excited to read that. I'm actually making my husband read that with me. There's this picture by, okay, I'm gonna screw this up, you guys, don't hate me. Kawana Jackson. Okay, I know I got the last name right. She's the author of Real Men Knit, and she posted this picture a few days ago, I guess, now, of, like, real men who knit holding the book, and oh my god, yes. Cat Sebastian's Two Rogues Make a Right. I'm so okay, maybe I'm just hallucinating, but I know there's a lot of books coming out. Or, yeah, Olivia Dade. Fuck, what's that book called, you guys? Fangirl. She has a book coming out, though. I really want to read. I'm really excited to read Real Men Knit. It's about a yarn store. I'm a sucker for yarn. I'm not allowed to buy yarn anymore. Like, my husband's like, no more yarn. Anyways, yeah, so okay, so maybe there's just a lot of books out. Anyways, I try to retweet as many books coming out on obviously Twitter, just so that you guys can see them. If you guys don't follow like authors and stuff like that, yeah, for some reason I feel like, I don't know, maybe it was all in my head. That's a big book birthday. No, The Boyfriend Project, that came out and is out now. So yeah, there's a lot of books, and Amazon is just kind of sucking at showing stuff that most wished for. No, hot new releases. Okay, Emily Griffin should not be into romance anymore. She should get her romance cardi taken away. Anyways, that's a whole nother drama thing. That's why I kind of stay, I don't know, stay off Twitter. But Emily Griffin, a few months ago, was just completely being a bitch about mommy shaming stuff on Twitter. I'm like, get over it. So, anyways, hello, happy Tuesday. I'm sure I'm gonna find a bunch of books that come out tomorrow, because Tuesday is release day for for books. It's very exciting. Tuesdays are very exciting. So anyways, I guess that's all the updates I have on that. A few days ago, I guess now. Seems like forever ago. I accidentally binge read a book called Arrogant Aussie by Kate T. Masson. And I say like accidentally binge read, I mean like I accidentally like was looking on stuff and was like, oh yeah, I'll read this now. It's not like I'm finishing up six other books to read, but hey, you know, that's okay. Anyways, so it's my first soccer romance, and that was weird. I don't like soccer. I dated a soccer player in high school, and it just, oh my god, soccer's so boring. Like, anyways, it's also really kind of bloody because they don't really care if like you get injured on the field. I guess like if there's blood, they're just kind of like, oh whatever. So it's kind of, I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but it wasn't too like soccer focused. Like he is an Australian soccer player. Anyways, he gets injured and it's all of that. So it's not like him. It's not like so the game focused. I'm not really going to cover it, but today it brings me to an interesting topic. I am going to cover, though, hockey romance books. So I am a huge hockey, I shouldn't say huge hockey fan. Okay, I am like a huge hockey fan, but like, don't ask me numbers or stuff like that. Like, I super duper like hockey. Like, it is the one sport I can stay awake and focus at. Also, in sixth grade, one of my teachers, her son, is a hockey player for, like, one of her really big in North Dakota, like, obviously, only, okay, University of North Dakota, is super duper hockey player. And that year, the goaltender, I think that's in the moment I realized, like, boys can be attractive, especially if they're goalies. Whew. Don't ask me. I think he had like, I don't know what he looks like now. I mean, I don't remember his name. But I remember like seeing a picture of the goaltender and I was like, ho. So boys at some point in their lives can look like that. And it's like, you look at your boys in like sixth grade when you're in sixth grade and you're just like, fuck no. And then you look at boys in like college and you're like, wait, so this dweeb is gonna look like that someday? Yeah. Yep. Anyways, so I am going to talk about a few hockey series. So I know you guys have heard me mention Nashville Assassins, and I don't think I talked about it like in its own episode, but I should. Where is it now? I just science. Okay, so Nashville Assassins by Tony Aleo was the very first hockey book I read. Oh, she's super cute looking. Oh my goodness. Okay, so there's a lot of books in this series. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of overwhelming. Some of them are good. Some of them are like, some of them are great. I went back and I reread Taking Shots. It's the very first book of the series of Nashville Assassins. Because I think she has a couple of other hockey books. And now I saw that she has like a second generation Nashville Assassins, which I really want to read. Because, so the main characters for Taking Shots anyway is Shay Adler and Ellie Fisher. And obviously, you guys, spoiler alert. They get together and they get married and they have lots of babies. Lots of babies. Kind of crazy. But it's not like lots of babies in this book. It's like lots of babies like throughout books. It's really funny. It's funny because like she's like, we're gonna have lots of babies, and Ellie's like, we'll have like two. I think they end up like having six, I think. Anyway, so, like, the second generation I saw is, I know one of the books is about their oldest daughter. So, it takes, huge time jump, obviously. I haven't read it, like I said, but the premise of that is that a Nashville assassin is in love with Shay and Ellie's daughter, and Shay, I believe, is the coach for now the Nashville Assassins, which isn't that big of a big, I mean, too much of a shock, because he does say in this book that when he retires and he knows that his hockey career isn't forever, that he does want to coach. So it's kind of nice that, like, everybody gets their way, I guess. Anyways, so taking shots. I've never been to Tennessee. I really wish I went to Tennessee before it became very touristy, even more hipstery, I guess. But whatever. I do want to go to Tennessee someday, in Nashville and stuff like that. I don't know. Just say I've been there, but I don't think Nashville actually has. Let's see, Nashville hockey. Oh, they do. Huh, okay. So, the actual hockey team in Nashville is the Predators. I thought that, for some reason, I thought it was Florida. I don't know. So here's the other thing about hockey books that I learned from reading 4 different hockey series. Oh, I forgot about the other one. Okay. Is, if you want to stick with a team, a known team, that's fine, but because, like, there's this really interesting trend going around on Twitter a few weeks ago about authors, what they got paid for their books, for their advances, things like that, how much money that they actually made from their book, just to show representation, especially for the romance genre, how kind of fucked up it is for things of, especially for any author of color, race, whatever. It blew my mind anyways, seeing, like, how much one person makes versus, like, an actual, like, bestseller, well-known person. Like, Roxane Gray, I know she's not a romance author, but she's, I mean, I feel like everybody knows Roxane Gray. Anyways, she's super duper feminist, like, she wrote the book Bad Feminist. But I think her advance was only like $14,000. And she sold. I mean, and that's like a projection of your sales. And I think she showed. She sold like 240,000. Like, for her revenue, something like that. Anyways, so I don't know where I was going with this. Anyways, but you have all these things taken out, like copyright stuff, if that's an issue, especially if you have like a nonfiction book, then you have to pay for all the copyrights to use any photos. It's a lot of money, so that being said, if there's a hockey book and you read and you're like, well, I don't recognize any of these hockey names or this team and stuff like that, and like, I know Avery Flynn like literally created a new city for her Ice Knights, it's a hockey team, that's because copywriting shit is hell expensive. So in the book Hooked, they live in Chicago, doesn't ever say their team, but does hint that their colors are red and black, because Chicago Blackhawks colors are also red and black. but nothing about that is ever mentioned. So if you're interested in hockey books and you have a favorite, like you're a fan of a certain team, don't get your hopes up of having, like, I mean, okay, so in our household, the Blackhawks actually are our team. So, like, I'm not going to get my hopes up on, like, a romance story of Patrick Kane. So, or, you know, for the Duck or the Penguins, you know, Sid Crosby. I want a romance story about Sid Crosby, please. Especially when he started out as captain. Please, anybody? Write that for me. Seriously, do yourself a favor and Google a picture of Sid Crosby, Penguins, captain. Hockey god. Anyways, so don't get your hopes up of hearing, like, actual teams. Well, I shouldn't say that either. You can get your hopes up. Because in one of the Nashville Assassin books, they actually do talk about the Blackhawks. So, I don't know if that was just like a publishing fluke or whatever, but yeah, I have to think about it. But none of the names that were, like, mentioned in that book are, I think, actual Blackhawk players. Excuse me. So, but it's more fun that way. Like, you get to create your own team, their own, like, names, their numbers, what positions they play, personalities, things like that. Like, taking that into consideration, not just for hockey romance books, but for any sports romance book, or, yeah, I mean, for team stuff, like, that is dedication, because that takes a long time, because you got to figure out, okay, so where's number, I don't know, 43 gonna be? Like, what's his name? What's his, like, short little background from? How old is he? Is he missing any teeth? Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is that sports romance is in a special category, because it's a little, I don't want to say a little bit more dedication, but there kind of is. That being said, okay, so I'm going to kind of skim over pros and cons sports hockey romance. I'm not going to do sports. Okay, I highly recommend the Nashville Assassins. I know I've mentioned that a few times now, like 4 million times. Okay, so each player on this team in this, the first, not like the second generation, but this, the first round, anyways, each player gets a story, which is pretty cool. There's a lot of character growth throughout the books of certain characters, which is pretty cool. And all the love stories are completely different from each other. So for the first book, like I said, Ellie Fisher, Shay Adler. So Shay Adler is captain of the Nashville Assassins. Ellie Fisher, I have mixed feelings about her, reading her a second time. At first I was like, wow, holy shit, girl, you got this. Second time when I was like, okay, you need to move on with a few things. So, real quick about Ellie. And this is, of course, you guys, lots of spoilers. But she comes from a very super duper wealthy family. When she was in high school, she was actually auditioned and performed on Broadway for, like, her singing and acting skills. Then she got very sick with some sort of thyroid issue and was asked to, like, lose the weight. Well, if anybody knows anybody, if you have a thyroid issue up or down, you can't just, like,
magically go on Weight Watchers and lose weight. Like, it takes medication, of course, a special, like, actual diet. It's not a simple take a month off, lose the weight you gained, and come back. No. So, on top of that, like, thyroid issues is no joke. If you know anybody with a legit thyroid issue, there's all kinds of other stuff that goes with it. So on top of dealing with that, at the time of her Broadway stuff, she was seeing this guy, this just shitbag, douchebag guy. We find out that she never really wanted to marry him. It was just her mother's way of controlling her and her mother of wanting to marry into this fiance's family because they're high up people. I don't know, some shit like that. So we also find out that she's the baby. So she has two older brothers, an older sister, Victoria, and then there's Ellie. But her mom and sister are probably one of the worst characters ever. Ever. Like, written. They are constantly, the few times that we actually kind of meet them, berating her for the way she looks because she's not skinny anymore, and she's not, and I'm not saying like she's a size 10 like when this book starts. That's crazy. I'm like, honey, I would love to be a fucking size 10 right now. Yes, I know I have three kids and have had three kids and had twins that completely destroyed like my abdomen muscles, like so she's a good curvy girl. But of course, and I can totally 100% relate to this, when you were a size 0 to 2 and then all of a sudden like you're not anymore and you're not even like single digits and you go into the double digits, like it takes a while, and I'm saying like 10 years, a while to kind of get over it. And I 100% like relate to Ellie for that. So, because like in high school, I had the worst eating disorder ever. Like, my husband and I were talking about school lunches, and I just made a comment. Because he was like, oh, don't you remember that in, like, 11th grade? I said, I didn't eat lunch in 11th grade. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I didn't eat lunch that entire year. He's like, what? I'm like, I ate breakfast. I never ate lunch. And I took only 3 bites of dinner, like, my entire junior year. And that was it. Like, it was bad. obviously, I shouldn't laugh about it, but what else can you do right now? So, being that, and then on top of that, I danced. That's all I did was dance. And, like, classical ballet. So, from a Russian. So, it's very intense dance and workouts and stuff like that. And so, I 100% relate to her of being a size 2 or 0, like, I went into senior year wearing a girl's size 14, 16 pants. That is how small I was. And now, I have finally accepted, like, my body. Like, obviously, I try to work out. I try to stay, I'm trying to stay healthy, you know. But, like, I realize I will never be a size to, nor do I think I want to ever be that size again. Because she also has this epiphany that, like, when she was that small, she was never happy. And I'm like, oh my God, I get it, girl. Like, you're not happy. And I'm not saying that if you're a size 2, you're not happy. But under some circumstances of forcing your body to be that small, you're not happy. No matter what those little voices in your head tell you, you aren't happy. Because yes, you can get smaller. You can get smaller and smaller and smaller, and you will never be happier. You'll be happy for that 30 seconds of standing on the scale and seeing that, oh, I lost 2 pounds in the last 3 days. Go me. But when you start losing weight so fast, okay. We're not here to discuss my eating disorder. We're here to discuss romance. Okay. But she's at this good place in her life right now. Yeah, she's unhappy about her weight, whatever. But she's like, well, whatever. I get to eat food. She owns her own very successful photography business. And she just landed this career landing job photographing the Nashville Assassins sports photography, which is something she's always wanted to do because she is a number one super fan, let's just say that. The other interesting thing about this book is that because of Ellie's past, and her very toxic relationship with her mother and sister, I'm going to point this out. Her father relationship is on point. He supports what she does, doesn't think like her little photography business is like a hobby. Like, super proud of her, supports her, all of that. Like, she owns her own house. Like I said, her own business. It's kind of crazy. And then there's Shay Adler, who's the captain of Nashville Assassins. He has a twin sister. They're from Boston. His sister moved down to Nashville when he got contracted. She met her husband. They have 2 kids. They're adorable. Anyways, so there's just a lot of, it's a very interesting chemistry. Because like Shay is super nervous about Ellie. And his sister makes fun of him. She's like, you're never nervous about a girl. And he's like, I know. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, he's freaking out. And it's so cute. So, that is very fun to, like, read. Let's see. There is a very interesting Pride and Prejudice thing that kind of goes on in this book. I don't want to give too much away, but Ellie is obsessed with Pride and Prejudice. She literally watches the 2005 movie, like, to fall asleep to, which I'm like, same girl. I don't, but I feel like yes. I have fallen asleep to the soundtrack. I have the soundtrack. It's a beautiful soundtrack. But of course, it's the relationship isn't all smooth sailing. But this is a great way to start off a series. I will say,
Just trying to score empty nets.
Okay, so the third book, Empty Net, let's see. Okay, so the third one, I will say this, there is something, it doesn't really go into detail, thank goodness, but the third book has some domestic, I mean, there's a huge domestic scene in there with an ex-boyfriend, but thankfully it's romance, so, but I just want to give you guys a heads up. I love their story though in book three of Aubrey and Tate. He's from Sweden and he's a goaltender, but I absolutely, absolutely love their story. Yeah. So that's Nashville Assassins. And if you're looking for, these are all, I think all of them are available on Audible Escapes. So if you guys are looking for like a good Audible audiobook series to read, or listen to, I should say. Let's see. Or you're just looking for a really, really, really long series, this is a good one. Especially if, I don't know, you're not like into I mean, if you're into hockey, I don't know why. Okay. Then yeah. So this is a good book, good series to start. All right, let's go next to Pucked by Helena Hunting. So it's part of a series. Let's see. So there's like six books and then there's a bunch of like half books in between there. I really wanted to like this series, but I don't know. I have it. I own this book because I think I got it for free. Something like that. But I found this, it's not a stepbrother stepsister relationship, but the stepbrother is a NHL player, but it's that whole like, well, I have hockey players in my family, so I don't want to date one type of deal. But Alex, the main guy, is super great in this book, but like Violet, I don't know. She's one of those weird characters that, like, I don't know. I found this one a little weird because of that stepbrother. Like, the stepbrother's very protective of her. And there is, like, an inside joke or something like that that, it's not really a joke, that he blacked out one time and they kissed and she like holds that over him, but she's like, yeah, we didn't kiss, or he touched your boobs or something like that. And so I don't know, I found it kind of creepy. But the Alex, the hockey player, is trying to redeem himself. Like, the media portrays him as a playboy and stuff like that, and he's like, well, like, that's what the media wants to see, so like, that's what I give him and stuff like that. But he's not like that. He's just like all around good. I think he's Canadian. like home small from a small hometown Canadian place, and so it's kind of like I feel like he could have done a little bit better, and she could have been more less uptight in that whole like I'm not dating a hockey player, blah 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 blah, and more I don't want to say grateful because like he shouldn't. Woman shouldn't feel grateful that, like, but more appreciative on, like, him trying. Like, he's being a nice guy, and she's kind of just bashing everything he does. And, like, you know, like, instead of bashing it, like, why don't you just be thankful? Or if you don't actually like it, just tell him. Because he's probably one of those guys that, like, would stop. Don't be ungrateful about it, basically, is the name of that. I started reading the second book, and then I was just like, this is weird. The second book is the stepbrother, and he like, hooks up with Alex's sister, younger sister. And I'm kind of over this. Okay, so the third book I'll talk about real quickly. Just because I am doing my Avery Flynn episode in a few weeks. But Avery Flynn's Ice Nights Loudmouth just came out. It's the third book of the series. This one was a really interesting take. So this one was the first Avery Flynn book I read. Let's see. So there's Parental Guidance and then Awkward. Like awkward, but Awkward is the second book. And Loudmouth, like I just said. This is a really fun series. Okay. Basically, what is his name? Oh my god. Okay, now I don't know his name. Anyways, so the guy for Parental Guidance, is a hockey player for Ice Knights. Okay. So he kind of gets into this PR nightmare, where he's in a car. And he's not saying anything or stopping this of rookies on the team kind of saying stuff, really, really vulgar stuff about, like, they're one-night stand fans. And they're, oh, yeah, you also really learn the word puck with the P, bunnies, and, like, hockey pucks. So a puck bunny is basically a girl who just wants to have sex with hockey players, which I'm like, same girl, same, but they like don't really care what hockey player, they're a hockey player. I'm afraid to actually look this up, but seeing how it has been in like the four books I've read, I'm going to assume it is a real thing. So there's that. So, these rookies are saying really stupid, vulgar things about puck bunnies, how they're easy lays. This guy being he's not a rookie. And he's kind of up for assistant captain. That he didn't stop any of it. So, like, he was in the wrong. And he's like, well, I didn't know it was being filmed. And that's, like, his excuse. Which isn't an excuse. Like, whether or not it was being filmed, like, you shut that shit down. So, he gets into this PR nightmare. The person in charge of the PR for him, you have to read her other series to kind of understand her. I guess I'll get into it in my Avery Flynn episode. But they go on this like morning show segment of his mom picking his date from like a dating app, and then the girl, her name is Zara, which I'm like, oh my god, I love that name so much. She's friends with a friend of the PR person who also suggests, like, hey, she's looking for someone else to, like, do this with him. And she's like, whatever, I don't really care. She just... I think she gets some money, but I don't think she gets, like, a bunch of money. But she goes along with it. So her dad, you know, like, approves of the date. And they go on this morning talk show. They have 5 dates. And then her and the hockey player, like, agree on the first date. Like, we'll do everything that we're supposed to. And we'll just play it up. Blah, 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 blah. And, yeah. So, this is a good example of, like, splitting up. Like, there's a good portion, like, it's not all hockey, but it's not all dating. Like, it's a good combination of hockey and, I don't want to say real life, but real life. Like, the non-hockey part of, like, the guy's life. And juggling being a professional hockey player and trying to date, even if it's kind of fake dating. And so, yeah, there's a lot of good character growth in this book that I don't say I was surprised, but you're happy to see that it's happening. And, like, you are, I don't know, I was happy to see it, like, unfold. So, I highly recommend Parental Guidance. And the whole Ice Nights, the second book, I swear, you guys, I'm going to have, like, a 3-hour, like, it's not going to be 3 hours long. But, yeah, it's very, very good, like I said. So that's parental guidance. Also, that whole concept of, like, your parents picking your date for you is really funny. Okay, so the last book I'll talk about real quickly. Because I am still on the fence about this one. So, the book is called Hooked by Brenda Rothert. So, Jake, this is the one I saw about earlier. That it's set in Chicago. Their colors are black and red. So, Miranda is a part-time student. She's only taking, like, 2 classes, I think, like, at night, for her business degree. She works as a bartender and a housekeeper at a really super duper fancy hotel in Chicago. And Jake is staying at this hotel because his apartment is getting renovated or something like that. So he's there for like 6 weeks. And they kind of accidentally meet in their room. So, housekeeping, and I know this from fucking living in a hotel for goddamn 3 months. So, housekeeping doesn't really, like, are supposed to, like, clean your room when you're in the room. But when we had housekeeping come in, it was normally when the boys were napping. So, it wasn't like I could just really leave and stuff. I mean, I would go do laundry, but I'm like, I'm not saying I don't trust the housekeepers because they were complete dolls and I love them all to death. But at the same time, like, I don't know you and I'm not leaving you alone with, like, my 3 children. So, that's just the mama bear in me. But anyways, so he's staying in, like, a penthouse, and she knocks, and she has this weird interaction with a stripper, like, straight-up stripper, And she kind of accidentally meets Jake. And she kind of tells him off on, like, just because you stay in a penthouse, like, doesn't mean, like, you're better than everybody else and stuff like that. And he's like, well, I need this, this, and this, and this. He's like, I can't do it because I have practice and blah, 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 and stuff like that. So he ends up, like, requesting her to be the only housekeeper, his only housekeeper, because he just, like, likes seeing her and likes talking to her. One, because she has no fucking idea that, like, who he is or, like, anything about hockey. Like, she doesn't really care about that. They have a weird chemistry, and I don't want to say it's a forbidden romance, but it's kind of a semi-forbidden romance because he is a client. Like, he's a guest at the hotel, and that's one of the rules, that you're not supposed to fraternize with the guests. Which she kind of gets accused of. And, I mean, she could lose her job. And so she tells him that. She's like, we can't hang out. Because he kind of, like, wants to just, like, hang out with her. And she's like, I can't lose my job, but okay. He ends up at the bar she works at. Because he paid some guy at the hotel dining or restaurant where else she works. One night she takes him, she's getting off work at the bar, and she, like, finds him at another bar, like, she's walking home, or to a stop or something, and takes him back to the hotel. He gets a huge piece of humble pie, and his ego gets a huge splash of water on it, which is very nice. I realize I like when that happens to jocks. Because, you know, I know so many professional athletes, you guys. No. But he has this very sad story about his brother, his younger brother, passing away. He doesn't talk to his parents. And you kind of get, like, snippets of it throughout the book. And you're just like, okay, like, I don't actually understand any of this. Like, why are you so upset? And it's very sad. So, his parents aren't horrible people. I'm just going to say that. Before you're like, I'm not reading books about horrible parents. No, it's nothing like that. I really like this book. I mean, I don't know. So there are other Fire on Ice books. It's part of the semi-series, but it's a standalone book. So it's a standalone book, but she does have another hockey romance series. So I like the way she writes. Brenda Rothert writes. So I might actually check out her other The Fire on Ice series. So yeah, it came out, you guys, 2016. So it's not, like, I would say the newest book of all these ones are Parental Guidance. So yeah, there are four different hockey books for you guys. If you guys have a hockey romance book that I didn't cover, those are seriously, like, the four series I've read. So if there's a hockey romance book that you're like, oh my god, Melissa, you gotta read this, tweet it at me, email at me, do whatever you want, send it to me. I've been getting a lot of friend requests on Goodreads, by the way, so if you guys want to follow me on Goodreads, you can. I don't know. My profile is, I don't know, okay, I don't know how to look this up. So it's on goodreads.com/paperbackromancebookclubpodcast. So yeah, I don't know, you guys, I'm just kind of here. So I will say this though, I've been really shit with my reviews on Goodreads, and so I will be updating reviews this week. Anyways, that's Hockey Romance in a nutshell. I hope you guys like hockey. I read that the Australian soccer book kind of semi by mistake. That was an emotional train wreck. Holy fuck. But I don't like football. Like, I just don't like football. I don't like watching it. I don't care about it. And that kind of makes me, like, a little biased on, like, reading anything with a football theme for romance books. So, if you guys have a football or any other sports romance book that you guys really, really like, let me know. Like I said, email me, tweet me, I hope I said that right, message me on Instagram or something, send me a picture of it, tag me in a story. Yeah, I wanted to venture out of sports a little into other sports than hockey, but it's very hard when, like, you have the sport you like and you're comfortable with. I mean, I know that's all about anything, but, like, I really just, like, I don't like football. Like, if it's on, I don't know, it's my terrible ex, they were huge Steeler fans because they're from Pennsylvania. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but they're huge, huge Pittsburgh Steelers fans. And like the 1 year that they got to the Super Bowl, he was like, "You have to come over and watch the Super Bowl." And I seriously brought like my homework to do, and I sat at their dining room table and like did my homework. I stopped for the commercials. I like the Super Bowl commercials, and I really like Lady Gaga's halftime show. And when Missy Elliott was on, that was cool. Other than that, anyways, reading challenges. Okay, so here's a little update on that reading challenge for you. My husband challenged me, if you guys remember, to read 128 books in 1 year. I have, to this, like right now, have read 84 books, which means I have 44 books left to read. Yeah. So there are 185 days left of the 2020 reading challenge. So that means there's only 185 days left of 2020. Thank fucking God. Yeah, there's a lot of books to be read still. So, yeah, my library opened up, so I'm hoping to get there Thursday. And yeah, but 44 books left, you guys. That's all I can think of. Remember, if you like true crime podcasts and you like true crime books, or you want to learn more about true crime books, I co-host the Paperback True Crime Book Club. We're actually recording tonight. Well, I'm recording this on Monday. So on Monday, we have some fun things lined up for the month of July and all that. And we have a book club pick. So look us up. We're kind of everywhere. You can listen just like here. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Check out my blog, paperback. I think it's BC. If you just type in paperback romance book club, I think on Google it's there. Romance book club. I mean, I'm on the podcast. And Amazon. I don't know. I need to figure it out, you guys. But I have a website. So, there's that. Yeah. If you guys have books and authors and reviews you guys want to submit, of not just the books that I've read, books, romance books that you guys have read, send me a link to wherever you subscribe or you've posted those to. I would love to read some, and I would especially love to read some to you guys. Especially you guys that are not in America. Because I would love to get your guys' opinion and feedback on the American, especially like American authors writing like in your countries. So I'm looking at you, Ireland and UK and Canada for sure. And I see you, Spain. Spain, you people, send me who your guys' favorite romance authors are from your country. Same goes for everybody else who listens. So I would love nothing more than to get all that. But that's it for now. Thanks for listening. Happy second episode of season 2. So, it's very exciting. Very, very exciting. All right. Well, my fellow readers, I say adieu, adieu, adieu. Have a fantastic time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reviewing. And happy reading. Bye.